but there was a manual with pictures. It said, here's how you do this. And so Caleb and I, we've got a little iPad set up in the room, and we'll hit play, and then we'll be like, step 41. And I'm like, son, I think we'll finish this before you go to college. But we're looking at the picture, and we're knowing, how do we do this? And we turn the page, and there's the next picture of how do we do this. And we have this kind of picture instruction manual. Today, Jonah provides you and I with a picture, with an instruction manual on how to run from God. And you might go, wow, this is a church, and like we're gonna listen to instructions about how to run from God. Listen, my job is to preach the Bible, and this is what the Bible gave us today. Jonah is running from God, and we're gonna see four different steps, four different pictures of how you can run from God. And so I plea, why would we do this? Why would we talk through this? Because my hope is somewhat that you would see your life in the pictures. And we would together identify, whoa, I don't want to do that. I don't want to run from God. God is actually the safest place I'll ever be. And so today, my prayer is that we would identify the parts of our lives that are running from God. We'd see them in the pictures and we'd say, God, would you chase us down? Because last week we talked about, you can't outrun God. You might be a fast runner, but God is always going to be faster. And so Jonah chapter 1, if you got it, say got it. Excellent. Again, we're just going to look at four steps of how to run from God. If you take this today and you go, wow, I'm going to follow those steps, then we missed it. Don't do that. That's not the takeaway today. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Again, this is a hard command. We don't want to give Jonah too much flack, but it was a tough call. Osaka is a fairly developed country, and there's probably not going to be people in Japan trying to kill Jake. Please God. But where Nineveh was, Jonah, this is a tough call. Like, Nineveh was famous for torturing people. And so what happens in verse 3? Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish. So God said, arise and go to Nineveh. And Jonah arose and fled to Tarshish. Step one of running from God is we disobey his commands. Step one of running from God is we disobey his commands. And you might think like, well, you know, the will of God is just so confusing. Like, I never know if God wants me to do this or wants me to do this. And like, any freshmen here this morning? Any freshmen from Texas State? No? Okay. Well, let's go reach them. Let's make sure there's some here. Sometimes, any college students, Texas State students here today? Okay, a few of us. Praise God. We're glad you're here too. You might like change your major a lot. Maybe like six times in one semester, I've heard it's happened. Because you're kind of wrestling with like, what is God's will for my life? Like, does he want me to do this or does he want me to do this? And here, if we can, like, I think following Jesus is actually really simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. That the overwhelming majority of God's will for your life is actually very explicit in the Bible. And so we could turn to somewhere like Luke chapter 9, verse 23, where Jesus says, hey, if anyone wants to come after me, if anyone wants to follow me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We could turn to somewhere like John 15 and go, hey, what is God's will for my life? Well, he just said, it looks like abiding in Jesus. It looks like enjoying God. It looks like loving other people. It looks like telling other people about Jesus. That God's will for our lives is actually not vague, it's not confusing, it's not some mystery, that the Bible actually has great amounts of clarity in what God wants for our lives. And if you and I are gonna run from God, the first step is we disobey his commands. We could flesh this out, but I'm gonna guess that each of us probably have something right now that we know God has called us to do or to stop doing, and we're not doing it. This would be the moment where the parent says, son, daughter, and there's that pause, there's that dramatic pause, this moment of, you better change right now. And I would imagine many of us are in that moment where we've heard the Father's voice say, hey, that's going to hurt you. Whether that's an addiction, whether that's sleeping around, whether that's partying, whether that's not forgiving somebody, whether that's running from a relationship with a sibling or a parent, like whatever that is, when we disobey God's command, we begin heading in the opposite direction of following Jesus. And so I would just invite you, each step, I'm just going to invite you, take 20 seconds. I'm going to be quiet, and I'm just going to ask you, would you ask God right now, where might I be running from you? Okay, so pause, ask the Lord right now. God, are there commands that I know that I should be obeying that I'm not? Ask the Lord that right now. And then maybe write it down. If you're in house church, which I pray there's a day where like 120% of people here who are here on Sundays are a part of a house church, but man, maybe you need to text someone in your house church right now and say, hey, we need to talk about this later today. I've been running. I've been disobedient in this way, and I want to quit that. I don't want to run from God, okay? So step one is we disobey God's commands. But then it says this in verse 3 as well, but Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. We'll see it again in verse 10, when the sailors on the boat get really mad at Jonah and they say, hey, what is this that you've done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. Why? Because he had told them. The second step, if you and I are going to run from God, not only are we going to disobey his commands, but we're going to try and run from his presence. Okay, how many of y'all got roommates? Anybody got roommates? I've got roommates. And most days I love them. They're the best. But some days, the roommate that I spend most of my time with, an adult that I'm married to, my wife, sometimes, very rarely, we disagree. Again, this is very rare. 9 times out of 10, she's right, and I believe it. But occasionally, I disagree. And there's a thing that happens in relationships. I don't know if you've experienced it. We've experienced it again on rare occasion, called conflict. And conflict will come up in our household. I don't know if this happens with your roommates, but it has happened in our house. And there is an odd thing that takes place when we're in conflict together. We will actually try to act like the other person's not a roommate at that time. Like they're not actually in the house. And so like there's some narrow hallways in our home, and I'm a fairly girthy man. And so she'll be trying to walk out of the bedroom and I'll be walking in and it's like you're not even here. Why? Because we're trying to run from each other's presence. And if we were to make eye contact, if we were to have to deal with each other's presence, what are we going to have to deal with? We're going to have to deal with who we actually are. She's not just the person I'm in conflict with in that moment. She's my wife. She has loved me. She has sacrificed for me. She has pursued me. She has endured me. But what I'm actually doing when I'm trying to hide from her presence is I'm trying to hide from who she really is. And most of the time, I'm actually just trying to hide who I really am. That I'm embarrassed or I'm ashamed. Because if I look her in the eyes, I know I've been caught. And I'm scared to get caught. I don't know why. She loves me. She forgives me all the time. You know what I'm talking about? Have you done this before? You try to hide from someone's presence. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a teacher when you didn't turn that paper in and you're like, man, I'm just they ain't going to see me. Well, they're going to see your name on that grade sheet. But we try to hide from the presence. And what is Jonah doing? We see it 3 times in 10 verses. He's running from the presence of God. Now, the Bible will tell us, this is really interesting, Psalm 139. The Bible would tell us that you cannot escape the presence of God. The darkness is light to him. There is nowhere that you and I can go that God is not there. That on this experience of earth, you cannot run from the presence of God. I would liken it to this. I cannot snap my fingers and just not be Ashley's husband. We are married. We made a covenant before God. We are connected together before God and man. We are married. And I can try all I want to hide from her, but we're married. And so if you're here and you think you can hide from God, you can't. He knows where you are every moment of your life. Even when you don't know where you are, he does. Because God is in pursuit of a relationship with you even when you're not. And so you might think you're running from his presence, but you're actually just choosing to ignore his presence because you cannot escape the presence of God. You cannot. That James says that, hey, draw near to God. Humble yourselves and draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Why? The Father and the Son and the Spirit are on the edge of their seat, not to punish, not to cast away, but to rescue. I want you to have that picture, that the God of the Bible is leaning, he's itching for the moment that you and I turn towards him. Oh, he wants to wrap us up. And some of us have this picture of God and we're trying to hide from his presence because we think, if I get caught from God, I'm going to be so busted. Like, I'm going to get the spanking of a lifetime. Like, and maybe y'all grew up in like really terrible homes where you got beat as a kid. And like, God is not that father. That his presence is actually the safest place to be. And so today, would we reframe the presence of God, that God is actually leaning towards rescue. He's eagerly anticipating grace swallowing you up. You can't hide from the presence of God. You can choose to ignore it. You can choose to try and push it away. But as we see in Jonah, you can't outrun God. And so verse 3, he runs from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship. He gets on the boat, again, away from the presence of the Lord. Verse 4, but the Lord... That's funny. I thought Jonah escaped the Lord. But the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so the ship threatened to break up. So then the mariners, the sailors, were afraid, and each cried out to his God, and they hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. So the captain came and said to him, "What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish." If you and I are going to run from God, not only will we disobey his commands, not only will we run from his presence, but we'll also ignore his pursuit. We'll ignore his pursuit. Similar to running from his presence, but what you and I need to know about running from God is that God is always in pursuit of us. He's always in pursuit of us. And you and I, when we're running, can choose to ignore his pursuit. What was Jonah doing on the boat? Sleeping. Listen to this descent. I think there's much to learn for us about what Jonah has done. Jonah rose, verse 3, to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish, so he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of the Lord. And then again, we pick it up in the back half of verse 5. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship and had lain down and was fast asleep. There's a huge storm all around Jonah. The ship is threatening to break up. The mariners are terrified. They're convinced they're all going to die. So they're chunking things overboard. Essentials, probably, that they would need for their trip and their journey. But they say, if we die, we don't need it. And so let's chunk it all overboard so that we might live. The mariners can't ignore the pursuit of God, yet Jonah is. He's ignoring God's pursuit. There's a massive storm. and Jonah's sleeping through it. Oh, my friends. First, this. Running from God is exhausting. And I would just say, aren't you tired? Aren't you tired? Aren't you tired of how hard you have to work to keep up a facade of other people trying to think about you in some type of perceived better way? Aren't you weary of trying to hold it all together so your life doesn't just fall apart? Aren't you tired of lies that are covering up other lies that are covering up other lies? Aren't you exhausted? Because running from God is exhausting. And so even when the storm comes and the ship threatens to break up, Jonah is passed out in the bottom of the ship. He's sleeping through it. I'll just tell you, I've had seasons in my life where I'm running from God and it's exhausting. Sometimes it's so exhausting that I actually become blind to the gracious pursuit of God. There have been seasons where I've been depressed and didn't really want to get better. And I'm not saying depression's a sin by any means. Goodness gracious, no, I think the world is broken and therefore we struggle in a variety of ways. But I didn't want to get better and I wasn't doing things that would help me get better. And I had friends chasing me down. I just ignored them. Said, hey, I don't want that right now. I've had friends try to help me on a weight loss journey to get healthier. And I just say, hey, no, forget you. Like, I'm draining this bucket of queso. Like, forget you. I'm going to polish off the entire chocolate chip pizza from Double Dave's that you don't really get to experience at a half Double Dave's here in San Marcos. And just another way that San Marcos needs to be more like heaven. But, yeah, we'll pray for that day. Maybe the Lord will give it to us when we're all just, like, self-controlled. So I ran, and I was exhausted, and I ignored the pursuit of God. And I wonder how many of us right now, there are things in our lives where God is evidently and clearly pursuing us, and we're saying, not today, not today. Maybe I'll get back on track tomorrow, but not today. Maybe when I have kids, that's when I'll get serious about this. Maybe when I get a job, that's when I'll get serious about this, but not today. Or maybe when this person finally makes it right, that's when I'll get, but not today. Not today. And we ignore the gracious pursuit of God. And here in Jonah, the pursuit is a storm. Because as we mentioned last week, running from God always brings a storm. It always brings a storm. The descent away from the presence of God always brings a storm. And sometimes we want to just shake our fist at God. What he's actually doing is graciously and intentionally pursuing us. It's his grace in full pursuit. And so I just, again, ask you to pause and say, hey, what ways, God, might you be pursuing me? And so if we're going to run from God, not only do we disobey his commandments, not only do we run from his presence, but we ignore his pursuit. So I'm going to pause again. I want you to ask the Lord, hey, Lord, in what ways perhaps? Just have a curiosity about God, would you? And just say, hey, God, in what ways perhaps have you been pursuing me? Ask God right now. God, in what ways have you been pursuing me? And maybe even ask the question, hey, God, in what ways have I been ignoring you? How have I been ignoring your pursuit? So we see Jonah disobeyed the commands of God. He ran from his presence. He's ignoring his pursuit. And now there's people that are worshiping other gods saying, hey, Jonah, wake up, wake up. What do you mean? You sleep or arise. Call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us so we may not perish. Verse 7, and they said to one another, come, let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come. Again, casting lots is just like kind of rolling dice or drawing straws for us. So they cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. Then they said to him, tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? And of what people are you? Now listen closely to this. And he said to them, I am a Hebrew. Hebrew would mean I am one of God's people. And I fear the Lord Yahweh, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, what is this that you have done? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. The men knew he was disobeying God's commands. He was running from God and he was ignoring his pursuit. Why? Because he told them, this is what I'm doing. And lastly, we see in verse 9, Jonah throws out some very big identity statements. Here's who I am. I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. I think lastly, at least in this text in Jonah, I'm sure there's 1,000 ways to run from God. But what we see in Jonah chapter 1 is not only do I disobey his commands and run from his presence and ignore his pursuit, but I eventually live out of a false identity. Jonah has just said one thing with his mouth. I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord who made the earth and the sea. Well then, Jonah, why are you running from him? You see, your actions are not lining up with who you say to be. And so I would humbly just ask the question, who would you say you are? There's kind of two parts of this that I want to just talk through this morning. I wonder how many of you here would say, yeah, I'm a Christian. Like, I love Jesus. But your life would say otherwise. That if someone were to ask you right now, like, hey, like, do you believe in God? You'd be like, yeah, of course I believe in God. Like, I'm a Christian. And perhaps in part, it's like the same as being American. You're like, yeah, that's who I am. So actually, I do this sometimes. I'll walk on a campus, and here's my thing. Here's, like, cats out the bag. If you're wearing a cross necklace, I'm probably going to talk to you on campus because I want to know, do you know the man who died on that for you? And y'all, I was walking on campus this last week, sweating like goodness. I did this in Huntsville at Sam Houston State, and I just say, hey man, like, I noticed your necklace. I really like that. Do you have a church you're a part of? And this was often the response. Oh, yeah. I've got a church back home. Really? That's awesome. What's it called? I forget. Wow. You must be very involved. So involved that you haven't even had a moment to think about the name of the church. Praise God. Or you don't actually have a church. Because the cross around your neck actually means nothing to you other than like your grandma gave it to you as a kid at your first communion or something. And now you just wear it because that's what you do. And maybe even if we were to ask you, you would say that you're a Christian, but again, your life looks nothing like the life of Jesus. And so I would ask humbly and as gently as I can this morning, like, man, who would you say you are? And if you're here today and you say I'm a Christian, then you need to ask some questions if your life doesn't look like Jesus. Like if your life is not marked by, man, a radical generosity, if your life is not marked by forgiveness and peacemaking and love and pursuit of others who are marginalized and far from him, then are you actually what you say you are? I can't answer that for you. You and God need to have a chat. And you know, I'll just tell you, I've had seasons where me and God needed to have some chats. But on the other side of the coin, and here's been more of my struggle. I'm typically fairly open if I'm just going to say, no, forget you. Like, I'm going to do what I want. But here's the other one. I'll say, like, no, I'm a Christian. But then for years, I've walked in kind of emotional self-abuse where I tell myself all sorts of things that aren't true. The most recent one is like, man, I'm just ruining people's lives. Like, that's probably what's happening around me. I just ruin people's lives. I'm such a burden. Anyone ever believe that one? Like, I just make everyone's life harder around me. Like, I'm so needy. I'm such a burden. And so we retreat from community. We're not actually functioning as the person that God's made us to be in his body, because we're believing, we're actually living out all sorts of things that aren't true. And we would say one thing with our mouth, I'm a Christian, but we'd live something entirely different. And I wonder how many of us here today are on either side of that coin. One, we're saying, I'm a Christian, but I don't do anything that actually looks like Jesus. Or I'm a Christian, but we're believing all sorts of other things about ourselves that are just radically not true. Like, I'm just a screw up. I'm a mess. I'm not good enough. I've sinned too much to be used by God. And again, like, our beliefs don't line up. We're living out of a false identity. You tracking? And where does that lead? Then they said to him in verse 11, what shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it is because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. I think for Jonah, where running from God ultimately led was, it'd just be better if I was dead. So just kill me, throw me overboard. Again, we're going to talk about this more in depth on September 19th. We're going to actually talk through mental health and following Jesus, and specifically suicide. But I would just plead with you that before you get there, before you get to such a pit of despair that the only option is the world would be better without me, or my pain would be less if I was just dead, would you at least pause today and consider, hey, maybe, just maybe, God's not finished with me. That sure, you've run down and down and down and down and down, but God's there. He perhaps hurled a great storm that feels like hell, but he's actually in pursuit. The story continues again, as we shared last week, and they chunk them overboard because they tried to make it back to dry land, but they couldn't. And so they said, okay, then Jonah, we're going to do it. Like, we're going to throw you overboard, but God, don't blame us for this. Don't put his blood on our hands. And they throw him overboard. And in a way that only God can, he demonstrated that he is running faster than Jonah. And Jonah brings a fish to swallow him up. I mean, God brings a fish to swallow Jonah up. And what Jonah thought would end in his death has actually ended in his rescue. Jonah did not turn to God. Jonah ran from God, but God ran faster. Because you can't outrun God, but if you're going to try, here's how. You disobey his commands. You run from his presence. You ignore his pursuit. And then you just live out of a false identity. And eventually you're going to say, hey, just chunk me over the boat. I'm no good to anybody. And my prayer is that God would graciously meet you there, and he'd swallow you up in his grace. How did he do that? How did God swallow us up in his grace? He sent his son. This is so sweet of the Lord. He sent his son, who never once disobeyed the commands of God. That every command, even when tempted by Satan in the desert to have everything at his disposal, he never once disobeyed the Father. You and I disobey the Father all the time. We're constantly running from God, but Jesus never did. Even in the garden when he said, Father, is there another way? Is there another way not to go to the cross? But not my will, but yours. Jesus always obeyed the Father. And because of that, Jesus didn't just not run from the presence of God. He actually brought the presence of God to those who were running. You and I, we run from God's presence. Jesus brought God's presence to us. Emmanuel, God with us. You and I run from God's presence. Jesus brought God's presence to us. Jesus is the presence of God. Running towards us, chasing us down, meeting the woman at the well, meeting the man lowered into the house who couldn't walk, meeting the sick ruler's boy, meeting all these individual people, bringing about the presence of God in their lives. This is the work of the Son of God. And not only did he not ignore the Father's pursuit, he was the Father's pursuit. And so Jesus steps on the scene and says, hey, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And whoever would believe in me will have eternal life. You'll never perish. We see that Jesus, the God-man who took on flesh and died for our sins, is the pursuit of God. The one who ultimately gives each of us, by believing in him, a brand new identity that actually works for our life. When Jesus said, hey, throw me off the boat instead. Because Jesus was actually the one who was going to swallow up death for us, that we might have a brand new identity. So if you go, okay, today, then maybe I don't want to run from God. Praise the Lord. That's so good. So how do I run towards him? It starts with Jesus. It is Jesus, and it will always be Jesus. Why? Because Jesus is the one who's in full pursuit of you. So much so that he took our death, he took our shame, he took all of our false identity, and he took it on himself and was buried in the ground and rose from the dead that you and I might have life in him, even the best runners among us. But Jesus is in full pursuit. And so week after week after week, we will preach Jesus, because him and only him, only he is the one who can rescue us, who can give us the identity that we really need, the identity that can actually hold up, that says, hey, I am a Christian. And what that means is that I am fully aware that I have been running in ways that have caused a great variety of storms. And I can actually look at my wife and know that if I was left to my own devices, I actually would ruin her life. But the Father has called me a new creation. So at the same time, I can hold, I am chief among sinners, but I'm also fully forgiven. That an identity in Jesus is the only identity that actually holds up, that says, I don't have to run any longer. Because the Father has invited me into his presence, just as I am. He's called me to himself. So I'm going to invite the team to come back up, and as is our habit every week, we're going to respond to God. We're going to do that through communion, through the breaking of bread and the drinking of grape juice, and we're going to remember the broken body of Jesus and his spilt blood. We're going to remember that Jesus died for us while we were still running from him. And if you're here today and you've never believed in Jesus, then my goodness, today's the day. Quit running. Quit trying to figure out how to make the boat get back to dry land. There's only one way. And it's by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Would you believe in him today? If you're here and you're a believer, you would say, I'm a Christian, but I know I've been running from God. Then today, would you just stop running? You say, hey, Jesus, I'm done running. Would you let him swallow you up in grace? And as you head to the table, as we sing, would you remember that his grace and only his grace is actually able to swallow you up? Would you celebrate that and remember what he has done for us? So Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word. God, we thank you for the privilege to be pursued by you. God, thank you for running faster than us. God, I pray that we would see ourselves clearly in the pictures on this instruction manual of how to run from you. And God, we would say, I don't want to run. And so God, I pray that your spirit would actually light up in our heart the pictures that are similar to Jonah, and you would just call us out of those. God, that your spirit would just say, hey, stop running. Quit disobeying. Quit running from my presence. Quit ignoring my pursuit. And hey, here's a better identity. Try this one. God, would we sense your spirit doing that work deep within us for your glory and our joy? In Jesus' name, amen.